Hi, I'm Nina, and this is Color Wheel, stories about paintings by contemporary women artists. Hi, this is Nina. During this episode, I talk about Lisa Yuskavage, an artist whose work is so sexy, it makes me want to run away and hide. And also do the thing you do when you're alone in bed with your laptop. Please note that I'm about to say some things that might offend you as a feminist, or just as a human. Feel free to give me your feedback. When I was a kid, my sister and I were hanging out with some boys, family friends, at their house. One afternoon, they excitedly shared a secret with us. It was a collection of Playboy magazines they had discovered in a closet. We all started to flip through the magazines, and I became consumed with the women in the centerfolds, specifically with their large, tan breasts jutting out of prim Oxford shirts or fuzzy sweaters. Although it seemed wrong, I wanted to open every magazine and to find those naked women so I could stare at their bodies for a long time. It was probably at the urging of my sister that I finally put the magazines down and walked away. My next encounter with pornography was a racy Anne Rice novel I found while I was on vacation. I started to read it one evening after work. My husband found me there later, sweaty and disheveled, with the book tossed to one side. I eventually got rid of the book. I did not want anyone to see it on my bookshelf and uncover my particular taste in sex acts and participants. I don't think that my squeamishness about my own likes and interests are specific to me or women in general. Men are private too. Most of us don't want to share information about what makes us excited. Except maybe with the people we're sleeping with. Maybe. And to take that a step further, most of us don't want to feel aroused in a public place. We don't want anyone to recognize that look on our faces. Not cool. And so, when I first saw Lisa Yuskavage's paintings, I was glad that I was seeing them online, in my own home. I found the Yuskavage paintings when I was doing research for a novel. My protagonist was interested in contemporary art, and so I started scanning gallery websites in search of something to which my ill-fated protagonist could cleave, something that would simultaneously inspire her and lead her down a dangerous path. There I was on the David Zwirner Gallery website, scrolling through the artwork, looking for images that appealed to me. That's when I saw the Yuskavage paintings. It was almost all naked women in various poses, in indoor settings and in landscapes. Women alone, women together, sometimes women with men. Their breasts were on display. Sometimes their beaded panties or pubic hair or their labia were the focal point. Women were posed in magical settings with screamingly bright background colors. They were real, but not real. Their faces were sometimes cartoonish. Their breasts swung to opposite sides of their bodies, and their bellies were engorged. No matter how distorted their bodies seemed, they were always impossibly sexy. I scrolled and stopped. I scrolled and enlarged the paintings, lazily and guiltily lingering over the images. One part of my brain wanted to make sense of the structure of the paintings and the artist's materials. I wanted to understand the scenes and the storytelling. Underneath that thin veneer of intellectual curiosity, my lizard brain was singing out, "Ha ha, naked breasts." I did not see any of these paintings in real life, only on a screen. Still, I felt like I was embedded in them. They were on my mind for so long, and I tried to talk about them with everyone that I met. Without much luck. The painting I want to talk about here is from Lisa Yuskavage's Northview series from the year 2000. This is the first painting of hers that I fell in love with. I have never seen it in person. It is so sexy to me, I don't even want to talk about it. But I will do it for you. You can see it and zoom up on it all you like at yuskavage.com. That's Yuskavage. Be aware that there are several paintings called Northview 2000. See if you can find the one that I describe. Here's a woman sitting upright, eyes closed, on a lime green couch, She has short, springy hair that swings around her face. Her lids are lined with pearly eyeshadow, and her cheeks are glowing with rouge. Around her neck is a golden choker with a pink stone pendant, and she's wearing a pearl bracelet, a gold ring, and two pearl rings so heavy that they droop off her fingers. She's in a den or library with windows off to the left behind her. Also behind her is an antique wooden chair. Its back is peaked and decorated, maybe with embroidery on fabric or paint on leather. There's also a sideboard in the background, and on it, a lumpy ceramic sculpture, maybe of an old woman. In front of the main figure, the young woman, is a vast and intricate collection of large and small flowers. They're all blossoming, unfurling at the same time, each variety full of lush petals pushing outward and flecked with white edging like frosting. This woman, who appears to have lazily drifted off in thought on the soft, lime-green, tufted couch, is wearing a flimsy camisole with thin straps. Except the camisole is pulled down underneath her tan and pendulous breasts. It is bunched up under her breasts and sticking to her belly like it's soaked with sweat. We can see the peachy skin of her abdomen and her protruding belly button underneath the thin fabric. The woman's areolas are large and her nipples erect. Her stomach is slightly puffed out. One long fingered hand with painted nails rests beside the breast closest to us. It's lying on what might be a multicolored afghan composed of darkly colored coins of fabric or yarn. They are emerald green, olive green, deep orange, and cherry red. One red fabric ball is nestled between two of the woman's long, slim fingers. It's as if she's fondling it. Her other hand dips into her lap, below another piece of white, transparent fabric. We don't know what that other hand, with its partially hidden fingers and golden rings, is doing down there. I love the way the shapes in the painting all match each other. The tan line on the woman's breast peaks above her nipple like a crest of vanilla soft serve. It reminds you of the big triangular sections of the padded couch and the top of the chair in the background. It is the same shape as the peaked curve of the couch at its highest point, just behind her head. Looking at the painting, I can feel the nap of the velvet couch and the heavy strand of hair that's fallen over the woman's eye. I can feel the heat of the sun as it passes through the drapes, just out of view. I can smell the sweetness of the flowers, as if I were a bee hovering over them. But something is off. It gnaws at me the way the painting reminds me of an illustration in a children's storybook. It's disarmingly simple. Is this just a caricature of a centerfold in a cliched and saccharine setting? The small sculpture in the background makes it worse. It seems crudely designed, like it came from a Hallmark store. It doesn't represent good taste. Well, I mean, it's not my taste. I start to mistrust the person who decorated this room. That person has money, but can't tell good art from bad. I focus back on the flowers. It's not clear if they're decoration for the room or an extravagant gift. I start telling myself this story about a bride waiting in her elderly husband's office, her wedding dress flung off and pushed to the side, out of view. Her expression strikes me as placid. It upsets me. Her camisole is pulled down below her breasts, and she's literally on display. I imagine myself in that situation, and I feel shame. It's like someone pushed her down on the couch, yanked down her shirt, and made her sit there like that. Why isn't she ashamed? It occurs to me that nothing this woman is wearing is of her own choosing or procurement. She has received gifts, jewelry, clothes, flowers, and is a gift herself. And she's just lying there, daydreaming. Does she understand her situation? Does she understand what's about to happen? I mean, what is about to happen? Or maybe, what just happened? I realize there's nothing in the name of the painting or anything I've read about it to indicate the narrative that I just described. all of that interpretation came straight out of my head. When you see this painting, you may conjure up a completely different story, and it will be as valid as mine, or as valid as anyone else's. All good art has an element of tension. In contemporary art, that tension is often psychological tension between the viewer and the art. The viewer doesn't understand what he's looking at, or he's looking at something and it's disturbing to him. Tension is about the questions you ask while you're looking at art. What is that thing on the canvas? Is it flat or three-dimensional? Is this a scene from life or something imagined? This scene seems okay, but I'm somehow filled with unease. All of these thoughts are normal. It's not that you have to like what's happening in your head or in your gut, only recognize that discomfort is part of the expected experience. Yuskavage's work takes you to a place where you didn't mean to be. You didn't want to be aroused, but whoops, there you are, like me, staring at naked women in soft focus until I'm dragged away at the urging of someone who knows better. Yuskavage talks about a similar experience she had as a kid, coming upon a stash of pornographic magazines that she wasn't supposed to see. Maybe it's a common experience, along with the questions afterwards. Why did I like that? And what does it mean about me? Lisa Yuskavage was born in 1962 in Philadelphia. She got her BFA from Temple University and her MFA at Yale. Although she's hugely successful now, she talks about an experience she had with her first show, which consisted mainly of figures turned away from the viewer, so you could only see their backs. She was disappointed in her own work. She spoke of the female figures in those paintings like this. The only character, meaning the character or characters, portrayed in her work, I was letting out between 1984 and 1990, was this timid social climber. The other characters inside of myself, I left completely dormant. Around that same time, she was disinvited from a dinner party because her friend said she was too much. Her husband, who also paints, suggested that she switch places with the characters in her paintings. She said when she heard that, all the lights went on in her head. She had this idea that she was going to paint highly sexualized images of women, and she was going to be, in her words, mean to them. When she told other people that this was her plan, they told her that she should absolutely not do that. Yuskavage talks about exploring things that bother or embarrass her. She said, I could load these characters up with the ability to make the looking feel bad for everyone involved. When I talked about Yuskavage with a woman friend who is also a painter, she said, I can't really look at her work. It makes me uncomfortable. But boy, can she paint. Two of my guy friends said of Northview 2000, I didn't notice anything upsetting. Yuskavage has worked with models and from photos. She's inspired by movies and real life. But she paints mostly from her imagination. She's known for her technical mastery and inventive use of color. She talks about techniques from the Renaissance, including one called cangiantismo, which is the rainbow effect of color she sometimes uses to structure paintings. Faye Hirsch, in an essay called Lisa's Girls, says, many of her paintings are fields of color, from which the figure, often conceived in the same hues as the ground, apparitionally emerges. I finally got to see a Yuskavage show this year. It was a transformative experience to finally witness in person the clever construction of the scenes, the psychology of the interplay between people, her ingenious use of light and color together, and the intricate and often funny detail. The artist Chuck Close had a similar experience. When he saw slides of her work, he felt that they evoked kitsch. He wasn't sure if it was real art. He found them completely different in person, because he could finally see the sophistication of the way she handled paint. Yuskavage understands her viewer's confusion. She says, "While working, I allow all kinds of things to run through my head. Dirty Little Songs, the passage about peeing in bed from James Joyce's Portrait of the Artist, corny moments from a Shirley Temple movie, or the light in a Giovanni Bellini painting. What I saw in Yuskavage's 2019 show were gorgeously painted, somewhat erotic scenes of men and women together. I especially liked a painting called Home, depicting a young, naked couple holding hands. If you look carefully, you can see the young man's thumb, loosely encircled by his girlfriend's thumb and forefinger. It points to, and looks amazingly like, his penis, just a few inches to the left. I found as I walked from painting to painting that again I started to make up my own stories about what was happening. I kept imagining that the women in the paintings were somehow at risk, threatened by the men who were eyeing them greedily or looming in the shadows behind them. I felt drunk in the presence of these large, glowing, intricate, imaginative works of art, all the while feeling more and more on edge because of the stories in my head. I also felt that old Yuskavage feeling again. It was a rainy night when I was there, and there weren't many people around. That was lucky. I would hate for someone to see me with that look on my face. That same look I have when I see Northview.